Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, even as you taught your disciples how to pray, teach us also. Amen. How much time do you spend in talking to God each day? A minute? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Surely there is no one here today who does not pray. There are a lot of Christians who do not pray very much. Perhaps they've bought the line that life is ruled by fate. That is, you go out of church and you step down into the hall, you lose your footing, twist your ankle and fall flat on your nose. Well, that's fate. Whatever will be, will be. It's surprising how many people, including Christians, believe life is ruled by fate. There are other Christians who only pray when they are in trouble. When all is well, there's no need to pray, is there? They're like a little girl, like a girl who was asked whether she prayed before she had exams. And she says, no, I don't need to pray before exams. I am getting straight A's all the time. But prayer is important. Life is ruled by God and not by fate. Prayer is our first resort, not last resort. And when we pray, even when things are going well. Jesus spoke a lot about prayer. He once told a parable to stress that God is not a stingy God, but a generous God. A God who answers prayer and gives good things to his people. May this parable then from Luke chapter 11 encourage us to pray and to pray with confidence. But let's put ourselves into the parable itself. Sure, their society was a lot different than ours. But it's 11:30 at night. There's a knock at the door, and it's an old friend who is tired and hungry. But what are you going to feed him? The pantry's empty. Shopping day's tomorrow. In an emergency like this, the whole community becomes responsible for this old friend. And so you start going through the community to gather food for your friend. First of all, you go next door to a neighbour who's quite a good friend of yours. We call out to him rather than knock on the door. Friends call out so they'll know who's there. Only strangers will knock at the door, particularly at night. And so you knock at the door and you hear a very sleepy voice saying, "What do you want?" And we explain we need some bread, which is the knife and fork of Eastern society. So how will our neighbour respond to our request for food, for bread? Can you imagine your neighbour saying, "Don't bother me, the door is deadlocked, the children are fast asleep, and besides, it's nearly midnight." Well, will our neighbour say that? Hardly. I mean, the door is deadlocked, surely there's a key in it. The children are sleeping. Well, in those places, they all slept in the same room, but then again, children are not that light sleepers. They might wake up, but they'll soon go back to sleep again. No, our neighbour won't make excuses like that. Besides, imagine the shock next day when the whole village finds out what a skinflint you've been, that you wouldn't even provide a loaf of bread. For this reason, our neighbour does not want to be put to shame. And so he provides us with the bread we need. In fact, he provides us with all the food we need so we won't have to go anywhere else to wake them up. Can you get the point Jesus is making? We are like that host who goes to God for help. Can you imagine God saying, "I'm sorry, I can't help you today. I'm too busy running the universe. Don't bother me. See how you get on yourself." God won't say that. He's no Scrooge. He's generous. He's willing to give. More willing than the neighbour. If the neighbour gives, surely God will all the more give what we need. He's happy to hear us from us, whether day or night. In the parable, the host and the neighbour were friends. But because of Jesus, we are more than friends with God. We are his children through Jesus. Jesus has made us acceptable to God by taking away our sins through his death on the cross. Jesus has given us his righteousness so that God accepts us as his children. And that's all the more reason then for God to give to us. He's happy to hear from us. God not only gives us what we need, he gives us even more than we ask for. Think of all the things we have that we did not perhaps ask for. Have you ever thanked God for pain, for example? If you did not have pain, you would not know something was wrong. And that's why leprosy is such a terrible disease, because a leper does not feel pain. And so when you hurt yourself, you don't know it. And you can do your body a lot of damage. And so then if God didn't give us what we need, his reputation would be ruined. He'd be put to shame. He'd been seen as a stingy God, a God not worth praying to. Indeed, today many people have that view of God. The problem is that they often ask God for unnecessary things and hurtful things. And when God doesn't give what they want, they get all uppity and find and say that he is cold and uncaring. Of course, God sometimes does not give us things that we ask for. The reason may be only known to him. But these things are outweighed by all the good things God gives us. And so the parable points to our generous giving God. One request and the neighbour gave to the host. And so God gives willingly. We don't have to nag him. We don't have to twist his arm. He gives. He delights to give. I'm sure all of us could recount times when God has answered prayer in a marvellous way. There is somebody here today in this building who has seen his prayers answered in a very emphatic way. Years ago, his doctors told him, "You're not going to be with us much longer," but he's still here. And he has said to me and to his doctors, "It's prayer and God that have sustained me all these years you said I wouldn't have." I can remember an occasion when Helen and I found a tremendous answer to prayer. We had gone to Sydney and were travelling from the airport into the city to our hotel. And we saw on the rear vision mirror of the taxi a crucifix, and we thought, "That's great, we're in a taxi driven by a Christian." But just before we got to our hotel, Helen noticed that her wristwatch was missing from her hand. Where did she lose it? At the airport? getting into the taxi, or is it in the somewhere in the taxi itself? We looked and we scrounged around and couldn't see a thing, and we said, Lord, this is an important watch. I gave it to her on her 50th birthday years ago. Not worth much, but it's got terrific sentimental value. Please, Lord, find it for us. Help us. But he hadn't come to the party. And we got to the hotel and we had one last look. No success. And then the taxi driver said, excuse me a moment. And he opened the back door and he looked in and he looked around, and all of a sudden he came out holding the watch. Where was it? But the Lord had very wonderfully answered our prayer. Ask and you will receive. Yes, God answers prayer. Sometimes in the answering, God reaches out to convert somebody. For instance, there was a scoffer on board ship. He didn't really believe in God. He thought there might be a God, but he wasn't sure. And as he walked the deck, he saw a woman in a deck chair with her arms, an old woman with her arms stretched out like this, fast asleep. And just for a bit of fun, he put an orange into each hand. A little later, he came by and the woman was awake and she was munching happily on one of the oranges. And he remarked with a smile, oh, I see you've got an orange. Yes, she replied, my father is very good to me. And he said, your father? Surely your father can't still be alive. Oh, he's very much alive, she said. What do you mean? Pressed the agnostic. Well, she explained, I've been seasick for several days, and in my prayers I've asked God for an orange. And here it is. Would you believe he's not only given me one orange, but two oranges? And the scoffer nearly fell over. But what she said impacted his life, and sometime later, would you believe, he became a Christian. True story. Ask and you will receive. Truly God answers prayer. He answers prayer for the sake of his people. Remember the prayer of Abraham? Would God save the city of Sodom from destruction if there were 50 righteous people in it? Yes. Would God save Sodom if there were 45 righteous people in it? Yes. What about 40 people? Yes. 20? Yes. Oh Lord, let me ask once more, would you save Sodom if there were 10 righteous people in it? Yes. Later on, God saved the world even though there was only one righteous person in it. And that one righteous person was Jesus, of course. Jesus prayed that God would accept his holy, innocent suffering and death. And God did that. He accepted his son's life and showed mercy to the world. And so God sent his son into the world to save it, provide forgiveness, pardon, life, salvation. And these gifts are available to all people, and they become ours through faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit says to us, put your faith and trust in Jesus, for he died to wash away your sins. And so by the power of the Spirit, we say and we pray, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me these gifts through your death. And then the Spirit says to us, by faith, Jesus is alive. He is your way to eternal life. And that Spirit then makes that confession our own. Jesus rose from the dead for me. You know something? God answers every prayer for a spiritual blessing with a yes. Every prayer for a spiritual blessing with a yes. We've sinned badly. We pray and God's answer is, yes, I will forgive you. We pray to the Holy Spirit for his presence. God's answer is, yes, I will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him. With physical blessings, of course, it's different, isn't it? Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, And sometimes he says, not yet. Some time ago, I was preaching and I was talking about suicide. And I said how God had protected William Cowper, the hymn writer, from committing suicide. Anyway, after the service, a woman came up to me and said, so God saved this man from suicide. Why then didn't he save my son from committing suicide? There's no real answer for that, is there? Except we are here in the mystery of God's will. We also know that God's will is good for us, and that suicide is not the unforgivable sin. Sometimes it happens because of some mental situation. And so I said to her, we should not write off your son and say, well, he's automatically gone to hell. No way, I said. God, in his wisdom, is still there for him, even in death, because of Jesus. Truly, when prayer is not answered as we would like, we need to be patient. And sometimes, you know, our prayer may not be answered until the resurrection, because our mobility problem, our eyesight problem, our hearing problem, and all those pains that we have, one day will be swept away as God gives us a new and glorious body. But let's not cancel out God's yeses with something that we seem to think has not happened. Truly, prayer is powerful. And I want to finish with a true story. A woman called Margaret went to a fairly far off place for a meeting. And the meeting finished at 11 o'clock. And she got back to her car and it wouldn't start properly. It sputtered and coughed, but finally it got going. And she decided to take a shortcut back home so she wouldn't have to be so long on the road. Well, you know what happens when you take shortcuts, don't you? She got hopelessly lost. And then all of a sudden, her car lost power, the engine stopped, and there she sat on the side of the road. But just there was a house, and as she was sitting there, a light went on in the porch, and two men and two women came out of the house. And so she went up to them and said, I'm in trouble. My car has stopped. And one of the men said, well, I'm a mechanic and I'll have a look at it if you like. And so he had a look at it. And a little while later, he came back and he says, you know what? Some city idiot has removed your car battery and replaced it with a golf cart battery. No wonder it wasn't going too well. But you know something? Today, for some reason or other, and I don't know why, I brought home from my workshop a new battery, and you can have it. I'll put it in for you. And soon he had done that, and the car was up and running, engine purring, headlights gleaming. And as Margaret exchanged phone numbers and addresses with the mechanic, he gasped. He said, you're from the town of Ripon. You've been going in the wrong direction. Incredible, but my two friends here tonight come from Ripon, and you can follow them home if you like. One of the group said, I would say that somebody must have guided you here. And Margaret smiled and said, I'm sure of that. I asked him to. Ask and you will receive. That's God's promise. Test him. Take God at his word. If God didn't give, he wouldn't be God. If God didn't give, he wouldn't be seen as a loving, generous God. If God didn't give, he would bring shame on himself. But God does give generously, shamelessly. Why? He even gave away his son so we could have eternal life. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.